Surprised by God is the theme, and we will see surprises. We have seen surprises. We may even be surprised tonight. I would like to testify. But first, I would like you to stand and hear the word of the Lord, because that's far better than anything I have to say. Exodus 4 and verses 1 through 12. Exodus 4 and verses 1 through 12. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." And he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back inside your cloak." So he put his hand back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. "If they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even those two signs, or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water that you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground." But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you. I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." This is the word of the Lord. Say thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
You can be seated. You can be seated. Before I get into that text, let me testify to you. It'll be a way for y'all from different parts of the country here to get to know me, but hopefully you hear the Lord. Hopefully you hear his story, because our story is really God's story. Let's see if I can put up. All right. Now, this is called excessive excuses. But I want you to see that 1988 Oldsmobile station wagon right there. All right. Now, that was something that I got here in Linden from an old fellow that was using it for golf. So it had like 80,000 miles on it, and it was in 1988. I think I got it for $2,000. Now, I'm a musician, so I had a plan to put an amplifier and a keyboard and a guitar in the back of that station wagon and go where the Lord would lead. So the Lord provided that for me when I was about 17 years old. How many of y'all are 17 years old? Okay, and I know you want that station wagon, no? That's all right if you don't, but I like it. Now, what the Lord put on my heart was a calling, just like he put a calling on Moses' life. And he has a calling on each of y'all's life. And one of the things that we hope when you come here is you have a little more of a taste of what God may be calling to you in your life, because serving and doing the things God calls us to do in this week are all part of his call. And you take that with you in whatever you do. And the Lord will show you as you go and you serve and what your calling is. It doesn't have to be a specific place or a specific way, but just as you go and you serve, the Lord will show you. But in Moses' case, it was very specific. And I relate to that somewhat also, I believe. When I came out of high school, my brother Joel had graduated from Calvin. He was a senior at Calvin. I was a senior at Linden Christian. We decided to hit the road in that wood panel station wagon and try to get a record deal in Nashville, Tennessee. with music that we were making. But there was another thing happening in my heart at the same time that I was talking to Joel about going to Nashville, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew God was calling me to something. And we came there, and you know, I worked at International House of Pancakes. It's a fine place to work, by the way. And if you're a musician in Nashville, you got to find a restaurant to work for because you're not going to make it in music. But we did that, and I sensed that God was calling me to something. But I went to Nashville, and we were auditioning. Drummers were auditioning us because in Nashville, if you're a singer-songwriter, you're one of many. And I knew though that God was calling me to something else, to some kind of ministry. And I didn't know what it was that he was calling me to. But I finally told my brother Joel, I don't know that I can go for this record deal. I think God wants me to do something else. I don't know quite what it is. But I felt like running away from God's call. And I don't know if you've ever felt that. But if you look at Brother Moses, that's a lot of what he was struggling with here. He even ran away from the serpent. So his staff becomes a serpent. He runs away from the serpent. Sort of like Jonah running away from God's call. Sometimes we sense that God wants us to do something, but we run away from it because we're scared. And that's real. And that was real for me. And my girlfriend at the time, we had been in a musical together called Cinderella. She had been Cinderella, and I had been the prince in the musical Cinderella here at Vinnie Christian. We became high school sweethearts. She was still in high school, and I was in Nashville. And she told me of this place called Cary, Mississippi. And somehow, as she described it, I sensed from God, and that's not something we talk a lot about in Reformed settings, but I gotta be honest, I sensed from God that I was supposed to go there, and I didn't know why. So at some point, this call became so strong, I couldn't deny it, and I finally quit my job at the International House of Pancakes, put my 2 weeks in, and when my 2 week notice came up, I got sick for 4 days straight, and I was planning to drive down to Mississippi. But I couldn't even hold food down. Sorry to share those too many details. And I was crying out to God, do you speak to people in this way? Do you give specific callings like this? Or am I going crazy? And I did something that you're really not supposed to do when you read the Bible. Because you're supposed to read the Bible in context. So don't do what I did. I opened it up and I put my finger down. That's called Bible bingo. Not the way to read the Bible. And I read the words, rise up and go. Your faith has made you well. So I was still sick, but I crawled into that wood-paneled station wagon. And we didn't have GPS in those days. Y'all, I just started driving south. I'm gonna share a little bit of a song with you, okay? Part of my testimony. So as I started driving, I was totally well. And I started laughing and saying, God, you healed me. And then I came to a place at 9 p.m. because I'd been driving all day and I didn't know where I would end up. And I came to this shed in the middle of nowhere and I decided to sleep in my station wagon. Well, a police officer came. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm following the Holy Spirit wherever he leads me. And he just shook his head. And he said, it ain't safe out here. I'm taking you to the car. Christian Center. I thought he said the Hare Krishna Center because I couldn't understand his accent. But he took me, lo and behold, I had come to Cary, Mississippi without even knowing it. And he drove me with his police car right into Cary, Mississippi. Mississippi, I miss you now. Oh, Mississippi, I want to come down. Oh, Mississippi, I remember.
that's on the way, man. Old Mississippi, I miss you now. Old Mississippi, I want to come down. Got sick for 4 days before. Then I prayed to the Lord. After I felt so free, came to town at 9 p.m. Policeman took me to the mission. I'll stop there.
I was 19 years old, and I talked to the volunteer coordinator. And he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "The Lord told me to come here." And that's a strange thing for a Christian Reformed kid to say, let me tell you right now. And I was scared and I was nervous, but he said, "Well, that's funny, because a 19-year-old student was supposed to show up this morning but called us last night and backed out at the last minute. Are you willing to work on shotgun shacks in the Mississippi Delta?" I said, "I guess that's why I'm here." So they provided an apartment, a bed, even a TV for me, and I was to work in the Mississippi Delta fixing shotgun shacks in the Delta. And pretty soon, I met a woman named Mama McGee, and she said that the Lord had told her to have me over for lunch. Now, I didn't think anyone would have the Lord tell them to have them over for lunch until I tried Mama McGee's fried chicken. And then she said, "We need a piano player in our church." And I learned something from those people about worship. I learned that you can put your whole body and soul into worshiping the Lord. I saw him heal me, I saw him provide for me, and I learned to worship him. And I had felt so scared and nervous and inadequate, but the Lord would call me into ministry to the poor. And from there, I came back to this area, and from Seattle to the Zuni Native American Reservation. And that trip was not the same. I got stranded 3 times in the Salt Lake City area. I developed anxiety disorder. So every time the Lord calls you somewhere, it isn't smooth and pretty. Sometimes he calls you in things that are really hard. And Moses knew that too. And so Moses was kicking against the goads here a little bit because he was nervous, he was anxious. As we look at his words in verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and tongue." Moses did not feel adequate for what God had called him to do. You may not feel adequate for this week. You may feel weak and tired. You may have gone through some things before you came here and say, you might even say to yourself, "What am I doing here?" But the Lord has called you here, and the Lord will do that in your life. He may not give you a specific calling like Moses or myself, but whatever he calls you to do, you may find yourself feeling nervous or inadequate. Have you ever felt like that? I certainly do. I have anxiety disorder. I remember the first time I preached at First Christian Reformed Church, I had to go into the bathroom because I was so nervous. I won't even tell you what happened. But the Lord called me to preach, and I've often wondered why, because I actually have a fear of speaking in front of people. And yet what God will do is he will call you to things that are uncomfortable for you. And then he will show himself to you. And it was uncomfortable for Moses too, because he said, "Lord, I don't want to do this." If you even read verse 13, he finally says, "Oh Lord, please send somebody else." And then the Lord gets downright upset with him, because he keeps coming up with excuses, excessive excuses. But God equips the people he calls. And we often say he doesn't call the equipped. He equips those he calls. Surprise! You're called by God. It's on. This week, he's called you to be here. And you may not feel up to snuff. And in your life, you may not always feel up to snuff. But remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to push through it. Who made you? God asks Moses. Who gave you hands? Who gave you ears? Who gave you a mouth? He can do it because he equips those he calls. Now, if you have Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians. We looked at this morning in morning devotions. I'm going to end with this passage, because I think it's important for you to understand Moses felt like he was inadequate. But the Lord said, has not the Lord called you? Has he not given you a voice? And then Moses goes and he does it. But I don't think Moses felt adequate as he did. So I want you to understand, even the Apostle Paul struggled with weakness. He struggled with inadequacy. He struggled even with his call. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 through 10. He explains to the Corinthians in his word, the word of the Lord still reverberates to today. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. To keep me from becoming conceited, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So if you feel weak, if you feel inadequate, this is just the job for you. You're hired. You're on call. Now, I know for whatever reason, God will call us and allow us to go through tormenting things like sickness or a death in the family or things that he just doesn't take away. And he didn't take it away for Paul. And we don't always understand that, but I want you to remember from the last time we were together, it's not a transactional relationship with God. You know, it's appropriate to have a transactional relationship with a mechanic. You take your car in, the mechanic fixes it, you pay the mechanic, and you're good. It's not appropriate to have that kind of a transactional relationship with God. I do my part. You do yours. Fix the problem. I'm going to pray for you to fix the problem again. You're going to do it, then we're good to go. That's not the relationship that God wants to have with us. It's not the relationship he wanted to have with Paul. The relationship he wants to have with us is a relationship of love, no matter what we go through, whether good or bad. And we may question his purposes in allowing things. But he uses even our weaknesses to show his grace to us and to others. One of the things he says in chapter 1 of this letter, the second letter he wrote to the Corinthians, is we comfort others with the comfort we receive. So as we go through things, we become comforted by God in his time. We may not have it all figured out, but he does bring us through it. He does comfort us, and then we can comfort other people. So as you go to some of the sites, you maybe need to encourage some of the people that you see. They may need to know that it's going to be okay, because you've learned that it's going to be okay from the Lord. It doesn't explain away suffering, but it's a reminder that he makes beauty out of it. And as we're willing, he will show us that. He will mature us through that process. So if we feel inadequate, we're just right for the job. And then finally, his grace is enough. His grace is sufficient for you. he says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." It's a surprising thing to hear. I'm going to share that my wife has a chronic illness called fibromyalgia. And it's pretty crippling stuff. And I watch her day in and day out, walking through the pain with a smile on her face and a trust in the Lord. It's not easy, and I see that every day. And it's a testimony to me. She doesn't have that strength in herself. She feels weak almost all the time, quite literally. But I watch my wife, and I learn from the Lord that He even uses our weaknesses for His glory. And my sons see that in her, and they're inspired by her faith. People will see you go through things this week, and just the way you walk through it, they'll see the Lord. Because His grace is sufficient. But now let me end with this. What is His grace? What is His grace? Augustine, one of the saints of the past, called it undeserved favor. That is, He could have left us to ourselves. Leaving us to ourselves, we could have cared less. We would have gone on and done our own thing. Like sheep, we all go astray. He could have separated us from Him, and justly so. But He saved us. He chose us. He put His love on us. Even when we sinned against Him, even when we were spitting at Him, even when we wanted nothing to do with Him, some place in our heart, even if you've grown up in the church, there's a part of you that's called the flesh that you know. And that part of us hates God. But even though He knows that's in us, He loves us. Right in that place, He died for us while we were sinners, while we were in our weakness. He died for us. And He took our sin first and foremost. And He took our weakness. He took our grief. He took our shame. He even took our sicknesses on the cross and those of our loved ones. And He conquered it by rising from death itself. That's how we know again that He can make beauty out of the worst of things, because He took and made resurrection beauty out of the cross. And we, like broken pottery, put back together by God, become a beautiful piece of pottery, a piece of art, a piece of God's workmanship that shows that grace, even in our weakness. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He had prepared in advance for us to do. And that's what we're going to do this week. So if you feel weakness, if you wonder why you've gone through it, learn to embrace that weakness and dance with it, move with it, sing with it, and the Lord will show you His ways. Let's pray. Father, thank You. This week we really want to walk with You. We want to walk in Your Spirit. We want to love You. And where we don't want to love You, help us to change. Help us to repent. Help us to love You after all. Change our hearts and make us like Your Son, Jesus Christ, more tonight, more this week than we were when we started. Thank You. Thank You for Your grace that's sufficient for us. Thank You for all that You give, and help us to believe that You, even though we're scared, even though we're nervous, even though we have sinned, even though we fall short, You can do all things. You can use us this week and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.